as Abu Sufyan, who was opposing the religion of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. So from these perspective, you may call them Sufyani. But as Sufyani, as one of the signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is only referring to one person. We cannot expect different people to come to claim that they are Sufyanis. No, we are talking, and of course the narrations are
so
talking about...
So in the end times, it's just one Sufyani who is going to come and who Imam is going to
And in the past,
confront.
They were not called Sufyani.
Okay.
They are the enemies of the Imams, and that is why some of the narrations just call them Sufyani.
Okay.
Meaning that they are just like Abu Sufyan who opposed the Prophet.
But they are not referring to the As-Sufyani,
exactly,
which is referred to.
Exactly.
Okay.
So in future, I mean, at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, we have only one person
Sufyani
with this title. In that time, we do not have different people with the same title.
Oh, well, Dr. Karim will discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. Shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are with Dr. Karimi in The Last Savior. And Dr. Karimi, you are talking about Sufyani. Now we have known that Sufyani is a definite sign. But since you discuss each and everything with a chain of narrations and then you point out and we reach a conclusion which narrations are weak, which are strong, which have strong chain, and then we reach a certain conclusion. And that you did with the previous signs as well, like in Yamani. Now in terms of Sufyani, is it a very certain sign of reappearance?
As I mentioned, we have about 100 narrations about Sufyani himself. There are some authentic narrations according to which Sufyani is for sure one of the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. According to some researchers, we cannot claim that Yaman is one of the definite signs. Of course, the famous idea is that Yamani is one of the definite.
Part 2. From 3,500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ until the late 20th century, about 14,500 wars have broken out and over 3 billion people have lost their lives due to wars. Only 300 years of history of mankind have actually passed in peace. This is what Conway Henderson says in his book. Ever since its emergence, the U.S. government has been a pioneer of wars all over the world by directly or indirectly waging wars in 37 countries. The current figures on the U.S. military conflicts after World War II show that Washington's so-called plans to expand liberty have sent 20 to 30 million people to their graves. This is why military experts believe that for every one person that's killed in any war, there are 10 more people injured. This means the U.S. has so far caused incidents similar to the 9/11 attacks 10,000 times in different parts of the world. Ain al-Assad is the largest U.S. military base in Iraq that was constructed in the early 1980s when Saddam Hussein was in power. During the first days after the missile attack, the Americans did not allow any media to enter Ain al-Assad. 3 days following the attack, filming was limited to areas chosen in advance with close-up shots. But the reality was something else.
The fire was just rolling over the bunkers, you know, like 70 feet in the air. You start heading down 135 meters, make it about a third of the way there. The big voice, we call it, clicks in, incoming, incoming, take cover, take cover, take cover. I've got another football field to run. I don't know when this next missile is going to hit.
Can you hear the incoming?
Like a freight train going by you. It's six people running for their lives to get to this next bunker. We get to the bunker and realize there's roughly 40 people trying to stuff themselves into this bunker that's made for about 10 folks. And I grabbed the guy in front of me. I'm just like, you got to get in the bunker. And just like shoved everybody in there.
In Iran's missile strike on January 8th, 2020, on Ain al-Assad base in Iraq's Al-Anbar province, the power of Iran-made ballistic missiles and the impossibility of tracking the missiles with advanced U.S. Patriot missile systems came to light for everyone.
It's like the sun rising instantaneous. That's how bright it was.
And I just remember a very heavy sinking feeling setting in. I was like, man, we are not going to come up with a bunker plan that's going to be adequate for the number of people that we're talking about.
Headaches every day, horrible tinnitus or ringing in the ears, PTSD, and I'll be willing to admit that. I still have nightmares.
I've never been on one like this where real missiles being fired at our forces and where I thought the risks were so high.
Maybe everyone was waiting for a swift reaction by the U.S. to Iran's attack. But their leaders, knowing better than anyone else what the consequences of the attack would be, and that was suicide. The Americans didn't know that the smoke that bellowed after the MQ-9 drone hit General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi's cars was moving from the Baghdad International Airport to Washington, and that smoke will eventually get into their own eyes. The exit was the toughest experience for the politicians at the White House. Even though the missile attack was Iran's first direct encounter with the U.S., it wasn't the first time the Yankees were receiving a slap in the face by the IRGC forces in the air and on the ground and couldn't do anything other than remaining silent. Maybe we'd better go through a part of the projects. the sky of a country that is 1,648,195 square kilometers vast was among the most insecure airspaces in the world, no thanks to the former regimes. Today, with domestic experts and Iranian armed forces, there is no room for even the most advanced military aircraft without Iran's permission. From downing the Beast of Kandahar, or RQ-170, decoding its data and building an indigenized and optimized model, to crushing the $200 million U.S. Global Hawk drone, or MQ-4C, which breached the airspace in the Persian Gulf, and the domestically produced Hordad 3 air defense system, or hacking American spy drones that were deployed in Syria to support Daesh militants.
The only thing I can actually come up with is that the hand of God protected us, because really, nobody should have lived through this.
Iranians weren't worried about a large-scale confrontation in case things would escalate, because targeting the Zionist regime and the U.S. interests and bases in the region were certainly on the agenda for the Iranian military commanders. And this is the bottom line that the Americans knew very well and abstained from showing in a reaction to Iran's attack to their capital in Iraq, namely Ain al-Assad base.
Well, words can't even describe the amount of energy that is released by these missiles. Knocked the wind out of me, followed by the most putrid-tasting ammonia, tasting dust that swept through the bunker, coated your teeth.
The first reaction to the move was approving a law in Iraq's parliament. Iraqi parliamentarians demanded terrorist U.S. forces leave their country. They even announced a schedule for the withdrawal. But this isn't the entire story and was not limited to the Iraqi people. Other countries also reacted to the presence of occupying U.S. forces. Afghanistan was one of them. In an unprecedented incident, the Taliban downed a U.S. helicopter and celebrated. So the real revenge would be to completely kick U.S. forces out of the region. You never know how strong you are unless being strong is your only option.
In the limelight.
The people of U.S. state of California are bracing for another week of destructive storms that will probably bring flooding and hazardous winds to an already battered state. A series of atmospheric rivers that pummeled coastal communities last week and left more than 400,000 without power in California will be followed by particularly brutal weather as rivers reach flood levels and powerful winds wreak havoc for casters. Fear. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The New York Times wrote in this regard, heavy winds pummeled the Sacramento region over the weekend, toppling trees and knocking out power for more than 300,000 customers, as California braced for yet another series of storms that could bring additional flooding, more outages, and tree damage, as well as dangerous mudslides and mountain snow. The Sacramento and Stockton school districts canceled classes because of lingering power outages and bad weather. The state is being hit by a family of atmospheric rivers, huge plumes of water vapor in the sky in rapid succession. The most potent is expected to arrive, renewing concerns from meteorologists of widespread damage. According to the National Weather Service, many parts of California could see precipitation amounts that occur only once every 5 or 10 years. The longevity and intensity of rain, combined with culminative effect of successive heavy rain events dating back to the end of December, will lead to widespread and potentially significant flood impacts, the National Weather Service's Weather Prediction Center said in a forecast discussion. The forecasters said to expect minor to isolated major river flooding with potentially record river levels. Forecasters also expected damaging winds of up to 60 meters per hour, which could lead to more widespread power outages across California. Thunderstorms could include a brief tornado along or near parts of the Central California coast, which has already been pounded by storms. In a news conference, Governor Gavin Newsom emphasized the danger this storm presented. These floods are deadly and have now turned to be more deadly than even the wildfires here in the state of California, he said. He and other officials said that the state had resources set up to deal with the coming rain and flooding, including rescue helicopters, deep water vehicles, and temporary shelters. Parts of Northern California had little relief from the rough weather over the weekend. Wind speeds topped out at nearly 70 miles per hour. And in the Sacramento area, at least one person was killed, a homeless woman struck by a falling tree. About 62,000 customers remained without power. A spokesperson with the Sacramento Municipal Utility District said that the company had dozens of crews on the ground working, but that expensive damage from the storm meant that some customers would be without power through the night. Parker Wilborn, fire captain with the Sacramento Metropolitan Fire District, said they were responding with an all-hands-on-deck approach. The recent storm was particularly devastating, he said. Coming on the heels of the rain, outages, and flooding the city has already suffered. The storm followed a week of downpours across California that caused widespread flooding and felled countless trees. Six people were killed, including a toddler struck by a tree that crashed into his home in Sonoma County. Each one of these storms really just compounds on the previous storm. Mr. Wilburn said, "The worry now," he said, "is what happens when more rain hits in the coming days. Our soils are already saturated, so it would just take, you know, a couple of more inches of rain and we could potentially see another catastrophic event. Heavy snow and rain fell in northern and central California, but began to clear in many places." What some forecasters in the Los Angeles Weather Office are calling the main show begins. A potent atmospheric river will begin in the northern part of the state before moving south through the day. Rain totals could reach 2 to 4 inches over most areas and could be more than 8 inches along the coast and coastal ranges and along the western slope of the Sierra. In high regions of the Sierra, the threat involved extreme snow that could exceed 5 feet. The heavy snow loads will increase the threat of avalanches and damage to infrastructures, the Weather Prediction Center forecaster said. Across the Sierra, the winter storm severity index is at the highest level, meaning travel is not advised and extensive and widespread road closures and disruptions to infrastructure may occur. This storm system will be warmer than some of the previous ones. The snowfall will start at 5,000 feet but will rise above 6,500 to 8,000 feet throughout the day, meaning that areas with fresh snow will see rain, allowing it to melt and increasing the amount of water entering creeks and rivers. The rising snow levels raise concerns of flooding, the Sacramento National Weather Service warned.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Another assassination.
Well, we have breaking news coming out of Tehran that another university lecturer has been killed in Iran, this in northern Tehran, in a bomb explosion that has just taken place in the northern part of Tehran. We still do not have all the information. This has just happened. Again, an explosion in northern Tehran. One person killed. That one person is a university lecturer, and at least two other people wounded. And, of course, we'll be bringing you all the latest on that story as we get it in right here at Preston.
A university professor or one of the influential managers of Iran's nuclear program. Another assassination. Victims were selected from among those who were involved in Iran's nuclear energy program.
My name is Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan. I'm 35, married, and have a 6-year-old boy. I was born in Hamadan, where I got my primary and secondary schooling. Being accepted in Sharif University of Technology in chemical engineering, I went to Tehran and remained there for the rest of my life. After university, I got married and took a full-time job in Natanz enrichment site. I would see my family in Tehran only on weekends. I wish I could stay to pick the fruits of my labor in Natanz. But by divine providence, I'll oversee the project from heaven. The future is bright, no doubt. And success comes with the ultimate sacrifice. It's a divine law.
Thank God, we won. We managed to produce the fuel for the Tehran research reactor. The reactor is running now. That's what our assassinated scientists determined to do. The centrifuges never decreased in number. They assassinated our scientists. They assassinated Ahmadi Roshan. But the centrifuges increased in number. 1 month after his assassination, we announced a 50% increase in the number of centrifuges. The Fordo facility became operational. They didn't want this to happen. They assassinated Ahmadi Roshan to throw a spanner in the works. But their scheme didn't work.
The assassinations were carried out with the main objective of halting or slowing down the progress of Iran's nuclear energy program. These actions, however, were considered as ineffective by many Western experts.
Killing a 32-year-old scientist who worked in procurement is not going to stop the program. It has a psychological impact, but it's not going to really slow down or stop the program.
A big country like Iran, which enjoys considerable young population and numerous experts, is too strong to be crushed by the assassination of 1, 10, or even 100 individuals. Those who think so are totally wrong.
Days come and go, but the fond memories of my family stay with me. I wish them well, and I know they'll remember me.
Mm-hmm. Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan was born in Hamadan, located about 360 kilometers southwest of Tehran. Mostafa's interest in nuclear reactions during the years of high school drew the attention of his teachers. Another nuclear scientist is assassinated. Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan was born in a small city and rapidly rose to the highest scientific degrees. As one of Iran's renowned scientists in the field of nuclear science, Dr. Abbasi became the target of a similar assassination attempt on November 29, 2010. He believes that the efforts of Iran's enemies in stopping the progress of Iran's nuclear program could only make Iranian scientists more determined in their endeavor.
And then others came knowing. The job of Ahmadi Roshan used to know. Those who have to do with manufacturing centrifuges do exist. It is interesting to know that they are the enemy's targets. They know it, and therefore they are duplicating themselves in a way by delivering lectures at more than 15 universities. Now we teach the technology as a textbook at universities.
This is Natanz nuclear facility, about 320 kilometers south of Tehran. The site is now named after Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan. This complex has drawn the attention of most Western countries in recent years. Here is the commercial deputy directorate of Natanz enrichment facility, the workplace of Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan.
We don't see ourselves to be a threat to someone. They think that we are so. They are not afraid of Iran to have nuclear weapons. But we don't believe in having and using such weapons. And Muslims do not need military weapons to promulgate their ideas. Whenever some groups, under the name of Islam, used military weapons to spread their ideology, their actions backfired. We are invaders in the intellectual area. We introduce ourselves via speech and technology and let people accept our thoughts at will. Again, we are not a threat to them in terms of military invasion.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, goes beyond the perspective of the country's executive officials and considers the use of nuclear weapons as forbidden, or in Islamic terms, haram.
A man of forest nomads by origin. I live in Ray. After 33 years, now I rest in the graveyard of the Shah Abdulazim Shrine. Here is my grave. And this is my family. They come here every week, and I'm ready, waiting to see them. Look over there, my son, Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, I go to my son's school to see him. I miss him badly. Muhammad Hussein was my son and my friend.
Five assassinations in 3 years. Israel has always been accused of planning and funding these assassinations. Despite the allegations, Israel has not officially refused or confirmed its involvement. However, many experts and the former officials of Israel's secret service Mossad state that these assassinations are carried out by trained agents of the organization. A hopeless effort to halt a scientific program. Iranian officials believe this program and its science is not restricted to the circle of a few scientists.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. I'm Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about financial matters, banking, silent partnership, and the like. According to the fatwas and views of Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to give money or to take money with the intention of trading and making a profit that is to be shared between the two parties as they see suitable or fit without this being described or called as usury or riba?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, if giving or taking money was done with the intention of trading by way of a loan, of course, all the profit should go to the borrower, not to the lender, because it is not a kind of partnership. There is no silent partnership either. So the money, the person who borrowed money, he is responsible for the money, and he is not supposed to give any profit to the lender of the money. This is a kind of loan given to him. So in fact, he, the borrower of the money, is also responsible for any damage or any loss if it occurs in the future. He has to repay the amount, and there is no profit to be given to the lender of the amount or to the creditor, because basically this is a kind of loan, and there is no profit that the lender of the money or the creditor should be entitled to it. Now, the lender has a right to nothing apart from the compensation for the actual money he lent. He is entitled only to the principal amount. He should not demand any share of the profit. And of course, if the money was given or taken by way of silent partnership, mm-hmm. getting any returns thereof should be dependent on the materialization of a proper and legal contract between the two parties. And, you know, silent partnership has procedures. There should be understanding. And the two parties, of course, one should be the capital provider and the other should be the agent, the worker who has a skill, who has the ability to work and who has the ability to use the money and invest the money. So if there is such an agreement, this is actually a silent partnership. And in that case, of course, the profit given to him, to the lender of the money, is halal, and there is no objection to him receiving that money.
Sheikh Javid, since banking transactions cannot be considered a true silent partnership, because normally the bank
don't, the banks don't bear a share of any loss. So the question is that, is this money which is received as a profit by the depositors halal or religiously lawful? I mean, the money received by the depositors as profit.
Well, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, says that the bank may not be a party to sharing the loss arising from the money it has made available to the businessman by way of silent partnership. So it may not be a party. And it may, the agreement reached by the capital provider and the bank could be such that the bank will not be involved, will not bear the loss and the damage. So this can be agreed, and there is no objection to such an agreement reached between the bank and the capital provider. And of course, Supreme Leader says that this should not necessarily mean that such a partnership is invalid. It does not mean that this partnership is not in order. So, and it should not mean either that the partnership contract is merely nominal or formal. Yes, because sometimes it kind of is sometimes deceptive. Sometimes it's just the name is used while there is a kind of loan involved. So it may not be nominal as well. And there is no legal barrier to the owner or his agent stipulating within the framework of the contract that the working partner bears the damage or loss of the money owner. So if there is actually such a condition placed by in the contract, there's no problem. And of course, the silent partnership espoused by the bank as the agent of the depositors is ruled sound, and the profits made thereof that go to the money owners are halal, unless it's proved that the transaction was nominal and invalid for some reasons.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohanjad, hosting program, and our guest speaker is still Sheikh Javid, answering the questions related to financial matters, silent partnership and the like. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question at this part of our episode or program, Islamic Laws. You know, I gave a sum of money to a jeweler, let's imagine this scenario, to invest in buying and selling, right? Since the jeweler always makes a profit, in other words, without loss, is it permissible for me to demand the payment of a certain amount of money by way of a profit? If this proves problematic, is it permissible for me to take some items of jewelry instead of the profit, instead of the money, basically? Should there be still a problem, can the payment of the profit be made to me through an intermediary? And finally, should it still be problematic, can the payment of the money be made to me by way of a present?
Well, for the silent partnership to be operative, the determination of the share of profit due to the money owner and the working partner should be made by any ratio, you know, such as one-third, one-fourth, one-half, etc. You know, for example, the two parties can decide. There is no objection Unlike some scholars who believe that such a ratio should not be determined, should not be made, and this such a decision should not be made, because, of course, the two partners should trust each other. And then if there is a prophet, then it is a matter of consent. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the two mutual consent. So that the two parties should, the working agent should give a portion of the profit to him on his own consent. But His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, says that it is quite permissible to fix a percentage or ratio. Let's say it is permissible for the provider of the capital to say that he wants 1/3 or 1/4 or 1/2, let's say, of the profit gained, mm-hmm, as a result of the selling and buying and the transactions carried out by the jeweler, and the example that you provided. So there's no problem. The money received by the profit gained by the provider of the capital is halal, as long as there is such an arrangement, such a partnership, which we call mudaraba. Mudaraba is that silent partnership, mm-hmm, which is translated into silent partnership. But of course, mudaraba is a practice that has long been there, has long existed. Since the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and it is of course permissible according to all scholars. There is no disagreement, and there is no dispute about the permissibility of mudaraba as a legal and lawful kind of transaction.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. I would really appreciate your answers and comments to these questions related to banking and financial matters. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio from me. And the rest of the crew will bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahman Rahim Mannan Kareem Salam Alim Malajam Ilaha Illahum Ghaffar Jameel Wahhab Latif Tawwab Sami' Basir Ilaha Illahum وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says the enemies failed in their plots to cause disruption in the country because of miscalculations.